You're listening to Pop Culture Fanatics, a podcast for the crazy fan in you. So get away, another way to feel what you did all yourself to know and let yourself go. You know you do lose your self-control. The snow of the rainbow, turn away, another way to be where you do all yourself to go. Let yourself go. It's not
what's up, June?
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Pop Culture Fanatics, the podcast for the fanatic inside of you. It's time to take a ride down in Night City with my favorite Choom. It's your boy Jay with me. How you doing, Jay?
What's going on, man? I am chilling, ready to take this ride down Night City, and I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Definitely, we are here for a great episode. We are going to be talking about something that's near and dear to us. It's been a long time coming as well, too, since we haven't recorded in a while as well. But we're going to deep dive down the rabbit hole in Cyberpunk Edgerunners. Yes, guys, we know that this came out last year in November, and it took us a while to kind of get this together. But, man, we've been playing the game still. We're still looking at every nook and cranny, trying to explore Night City and explore the game and compare the show to the games. A little time, but we're here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And I think, you know, this is a good thing when it comes to the Edgerunner series, when it comes to the game, when it comes to the book, because essentially this is what CD Projekt Red wanted to do. They wanted to create this universe for you to, you know, immerse yourself into, not just the game. They, you know, they have the books, they have the animes, they have comic books. It's this whole extensive universe, and I think it's something that just can't be
passed. Oh, 100,000%. If we're going to do this, we're going to do this right. Hold on, here we go.
we're going to do it.
The world's a desolate, dark place. Corporations have made this world disgusting, filthy, and the only way to make it is to be a little dirty yourself. But there's one salvation in this hellhole. Night City, the bitch that keeps on bitching. In my love language, Chrome. Yeah, that's right, June. Chrome.
That was great. I love it. I love it. It already sets the bar for the podcast.
Guys, if you don't know what this genre is, it definitely revolves around cyberpunk. And what does cyberpunk mean to you, man? Because I know growing up, this genre, whether it's gaming, movies, television, anime, what have you, is more near and dear to you. And although, you know, I definitely got into things like The Matrix and Blade Runner, of course, I think at its core, there's more things that you love about the genre. It's taken away from the mainstream stuff.
The mainstream stuff stripping away for me, this is just me. For me, it's I'm trying to find the words. I wouldn't say acceptance, but more of everybody is welcoming everybody. It's kind of like, you know, accepting of oneself, because, you know, me, the situation I'm in. So just seeing how the cyberpunk world was, it's like, okay, this is a universe that I would be accepted in. This is a universe that I can see myself, you know, being in as well. Because if I'm a person that, you know, obviously I'm missing, you know, most of my left arm, I can get a cyber implantation. I can get an augmentation, and hey, I can be normal, quote unquote, you know? So for me, it was just like, it felt homey. It felt home. It felt like the right place. And, it, you know, judgment free. Like, so that's why I love cyberpunk near and dear to my heart, that you can be as broken as you are, but the next person is broken as you, and it's just, you know, normal. Like, we don't criticize, or we don't pick, or we don't judge nobody here. It's like, we're just all trying to survive here. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
No, 1,000%. Yeah.
And that's why the cyberpunk genre stuck out to me, because we're all a little broken. And here it's like, hey, come on over, Chum. You know, you're the same as us. Let's just survive. Let's just have a good time. And let's just be us, you know? That's what it means to me. Yeah.
Do you feel, after watching this anime, that this opened the door to Gen Z out there, that really the only kind of bits and pieces they had of the cyberpunk genre is a couple of video games, you know, the Matrix movies and maybe the Blade Runner sequels and whatnot. Do you feel like this was a good, I guess, gateway into the genre?
Yes, I would say, because I mean, yes and no, because there's a lot more to the genre, but I think the cyberpunk anime and the project that CD Projekt has with the game 2077, you know, sheds some light on what the cyberpunk genre is. But if you elaborate more, there's, you know, there's a ton of stuff that 2077, the game, doesn't really touch. Essentially, you know, I love cyberpunk. You started getting into the genre, and you can see as well that, you know, 2077 is not fully cyberpunk, but in the anime you get it. So I would say it's yes and no, maybe of a good gateway for Gen Z to get into the cyberpunk genre. But if you really want to get into it, you got to hit the oldies, like, you know, like I just started playing Shadowrun Returns. That's real good, you know, the Blade Runner, all that stuff, like the original jump off. Not you know, even though 2049 is great, but I think that's where you get your real cyberpunk and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, you get that low maintenance kind of vibe to everything, but high tech. And I think that's what kind of got me into the genre as well, too, is that things look dingy and dark and desolate at the same time. And it feels hopeless, but in the world that feels hopeless, in a world that feels hopeless, it's the bottom feeders that are winning. It's the bottom feeders that are, you know, may not have every tech skill in the world, but what they do have, they make do of it, and they make a living with it. And, you know, they're you know, hungry. I think that's the biggest thing when you look at the cyberpunk genre. Everyone is hungry, and it's not a hunger of like, I'm just going to settle, because no one wants to fucking settle in this genre. Everyone wants to get to the next step. You see it in the game, you see it in this anime as well too. You look at every facet of the genre as well too. You look at Blade Runner, you know, you have people that are just not set with the status quo and want to be better, bigger, altered, if you will, as well too. RoboCop, going down the rabbit hole, different things as well too. Matrix even as well. Like, there's always a sense of wanting more. But at the same time, trying to achieve that may be impossible, or just may be your doom at the end of the day.
Essentially, yeah, that's like, that's great, because, you know, we're talking about edge runners, and essentially that's kind of like, you see that off the rip, like in the first few episodes, which are, you know, wanting better, his mother wanting better for him, wanting him to go to the top of Arasaka Tower, you know, and eventually it was kind of like his undoing, is sort of. So, but you're absolutely correct. Every person that you meet in this genre, they want more. Rarely you find a settler, you know, it's like they always want more. And I think that's something that's great. And like you said, it's a broken world. It's all shady, dark, moody, gloomy. And it's just so welcoming, like the genre overall.
And it's interesting, because the ones that do settle are the ones that usually survive to an old age, but they're never remembered. Mm-hmm. It's the ones that go out with a bang. Are the ones that you talk about for the rest of your life. You know, you look at every version.
Mm-hmm. You got a fucking drink named in the afterlife after you.
There you go. Bringing it full circle. So, of course, for people that don't know, Cyberpunk is an anime series based on the video game Cyberpunk 2077 by CD Projekt Red. The series was animated by Studio Trigger under the supervision of CD Projekt Red and premiered on Netflix in September 2022.
Because I totally forgot, how many years before the events of 2077 is this?
One year.
I was gonna say 3 years, so it's 1 year. All right,
so it's interesting right there, because for those that haven't played the game as well too, or even played the tabletop game, you know, there is, like you said, a expanded universe with everything that's happened. And I think with all the backlash initially that Cyberpunk 2077 received in the initial launch of the game, the bugs, the glitches, everything happening with the game, the negative responses, even from us, myself included, I'll be the first one to say it. Like, I bash this game like no tomorrow because I'm just a stickler for saying these things. If you're going to make a game, make it right. Don't make me wait 4 to 5 years to make a perfect game. But I digress. We're here now. And after, you know, giving this anime a chance and playing the game afterwards, I have a newfound appreciation for not just the game, the anime, but just the expanded universe altogether. So I do implore you guys, if you guys are just playing the game or just saw this anime, or like, that's cool, but I want more, there is years upon years upon years of lore that you could deep dive into. And it's all good. It's all great. And it's all connected.
I was actually going to ask you about that, like, because, I mean, we were all hard. Everybody, every gamer, everybody in the industry was hard on the game because, you know, from when we saw the concept and from what we saw to what we got, it was totally bogus. From what we were promised, I wouldn't say promised, but from what we were told to what to expect, totally different, you know, so... There's nothing wrong for, you know, being harsh on the game, but you, out of everybody that I know, did a complete 360 with this game. Do you attribute that to the anime, or is that something that you just attribute to just getting acclimated with the game and the changes and the upgrades and, you know, the updates that the game got?
I definitely feel like the updates did help, straight up. Like, straight up, the updates, you know, the fine tuning, playing it on the Xbox Series S as well too, helped immensely. And not from a graphic standpoint, but just for it playing smooth. You know how many times that we've both played on the PS, you know, 4 and we've seen like a glitch happen or your memory gets erased or something diabolical happens for no damn reason that you just never want to play this game again. And then, you know, played it on the, you know, the Xbox, just changed it for me because I was like, okay, I could give this a chance. It's not perfect, but I could give it a chance. But I will say, full disclosure, the anime is what cemented this game for me because I wanted more. And I won't say that should work for everyone. I can't say that whatsoever. You know, if you're done with the game, you're done with the game. You go watch the anime and be like, that's awesome, but I know I'm not gonna get the same feeling. But it at least will open the door to the game or to look at it in a different light. You're like, okay, cool. Like, I could be more receptive of this character. I could be more responsive of this character. I could try my best to take my glasses off of being a critic of the game and just enjoy Night City for what it is. Because for the most part, like you said too, there's a lot more that happens in the anime that you wished happened in the game. But if you just, I wouldn't say dumb your mind down, but if you just take off the critic glasses for a second and just say, oh, okay, cool, I can use the mantis arms, I can use the gorilla arms, I could double jump in on this, I could, you know, go to this place, I could go to that place, go to the afterlife, I could go to all these iconic places that you see in the anime, in the game as well too, and just have fun with that. Yeah, I think it's an enjoyable game, it's a fun game, and it has a lot of heart and soul if you get over that stuff as well too. So yeah, I think the anime helped me so much because I appreciate the lore and with the connection that they gave with the updates, especially with the Edgerunner updates, it just makes you want to play and find these little tidbits all over Night City.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get your opinion because I kind of saw that you were warming up to the game when we were watching the anime. And you would ask me, can you do this in the game? Can you do that? Do you have this in the game? And I'm like, yeah, he's about to try it. He's about to play it. Like, you know, and I was telling you, like, yeah, bro, you can have these stuffs, you know, not as you see in the anime, but you can have it and you can still do some of those builds and stuff like that. But I think at the end of the day, from day one, there was a good game there, but it was just a rough launch for them, you know, and they were able to recover. And I think the anime really, you know, did help the game in a way, and it helped overall the franchise. Because once, yeah.
Not to cut you off on that, not just the rough launch, but rough expectations as well, too. I think a lot of people, including us, we had built up expectations in mind of what this game could be. You know, when it was pitched to us, it was like Blade Runner meets GTA. And you really didn't get any of that whatsoever. And like I said, I still have a little bit of criticism with the game when it comes to things that I should be able to do and enjoy. I feel like the game is straight up V story, and that's about it, with a couple of things that you could do around V. But it's V and Johnny, and the world's just around them and you're reacting to the world. I just wish that there was little things that you can enjoy, like seeing Jackie eat a couple noodles, right? I want to do that. I don't care if it boosts up my stats or not, but the fact that I could just go to the copious amounts of restaurants or little carts around me, I want to go to them and I want to see my character eat some ramen or go to a sushi spot, eat some sushi. I want to drink and see myself really having a good time drinking without being a cutscene. So like, there's like little things that I think I've been spoiled with other games like this, Fallout, you know, even Skyrim at some point parts, you know, where I'm doing things as a simulation that I enjoy that I'm not getting from Cyberpunk, and I feel like I should be getting it, but it's still a good game.
No, it is. At the core, there is a good game there. Like, I always felt like there's a good game, and you're absolutely correct, because that was one of my biggest turn-offs with the game, where I felt bamboozled because one of the things we were promised, great customization. No two characters. I remember, no two characters are going to be the same. No two characters. And no, there's a lot of similar characters out there. The life path was one that was just, you know, very rhetorical. And my thing was the customizations, like, it felt very bare bones. Like, when I cracked this game for the first time and I wanted to put some cybernetic on my face, I'm like, well, I only have like 8 options. Like, that's nothing, bro. And, you know, they weren't even all that cool. And my thing is just like the visuals, bro. Like I've always told you, I wanted to make, you know, since Edge Runners, I wanted to make a chick like Doryo, bro. That's what I wanted.
From day one, you wanted to either be David Martinez at the end of this anime, or you wanted to be Adam Smasher. Like, you wanted that ability to be that.
That's what I wanted. Yeah, that's what I wanted. And like I told you, essentially, like, I wanted a female Adam Smasher. Once I saw Adam Smasher for the first time, I was like, yo, I wanted to start like Doryo, and I wanted my character to end like Adam Smasher, bro. Just one piece of flesh of Ganic, like they say, one piece of Ganic on her, and then just the rest full metallic, bro. And I even had the name, because that was another thing. I thought you can create your character's name and everything, not plain old V. I had canon. I was like, bro, I'm about to call my shorty Terabyte, or just, you know, just spell it out different and make her full Adam Smasher. Like, but no, we get V. Like,
which, you know, going back to the anime right here, you know, I think that's the fresh air you're breathing in with this, with this anime, because you're seeing what a game could be, or you're seeing what Cyberpunk could be in the hands of people that have the imagination to show it on screen. When you're looking at, you know, Militech, when you're looking at Maelstrom, when you're looking at, you know, the Voodoo Boys, when you're looking at the Tiger Claws, they're all unique in this anime. They all feel different, whereas in the game, they feel almost the same. They're all moving the same. They're all acting the same. They have the same animations, whereas in the anime, and it's not a fair comparison by any stretch, but you're seeing what this world can be. You're seeing how Night City can be. And a lot of times, the anime shows Night City in the daytime, and it's still a wretched, horrible place, but you get the feel of it. You feel the scum. You feel the toxicity. You feel the need to survive. But at the same time, it has this... We're both from New York, and we love our dingy city. That's how I feel with Night City. It's like, I feel that dinginess that you love about it. Let's just talk about it. Go ahead.
Just to end that before we start talking about the anime. But that's the beauty of the anime and the game, that, like you said, that, you know, you see in the game can be reimagined and brought to life essentially very different, you know, because the difference between the Skaz, Maelstrom, Tiger Claws, Voodoo Boys is usually, of course, cosmetics and, you know, language and stuff like that. But then, like you said, like, that scene in my head is stuck vividly, where the two Tiger Claws were chasing David in the limo when he was doing his first hike. So, but what I was going to say is that's the beauty of the game and the beauty of the anime, that if you enjoy the anime, you can just enjoy the anime and be fine. You don't have to touch the game. If you enjoy the game, you don't have to touch the anime, but 100% of the time you're going to touch the anime. But I think that's the beauty of both products, where they can be enjoyed separately and they don't have to cross mingle with each other.
Now, do you feel the success, because this is a very successful anime, one anime of the year. Do you feel giving a cast of new characters that are completely separate from the game, but still showing homage to the game, or to the lore at least. Do you think that was the right decision? You know, we didn't get our Jackie Wells, we didn't hear the upcoming V and whatnot, but we got some, you know, nods to here and there, right? But for the most part, these are all new characters that you're like, okay, I need to gravitate to this person, that person, this other person, and take this wild ride. I appreciate that I get to see a Rogue, or I get to see an Atom Smasher and whatnot, but for the most part, this is completely new. Do you think that's what really set the tone for this anime? That we got some presence of 2077, but for the most part, this is brand new characters.
Yeah, I think that set the tone, because remember, like I was saying in the beginning, they're trying to create this whole universe, this whole lore. So they took and shot their shot exploring different people in Night City. And I think that's the right thing to do, because you already had a disastrous launch. At the point when Edgerunners came out, not a lot of people were playing your game. You know, not a lot of people were touching 2077. So to give people what they liked, but with a whole fresh, you know, cast of characters, I think it's the right way to go. And it feels refreshing, but also, you know, homey. And each character sticks out, and you're like, okay, well, I want to stick here for the ride. And they're pretty fucking cool compared to the game.
I need to get your thoughts on David Martinez, because he is our protagonist in the game. And sorry, in the anime. You definitely hear about him in the game as well, too. But I need to hear your thoughts, because I have mixed feelings about our MC, our main character. I'll give my thoughts, but I need to hear from you, because I feel like you found a better connection with a lot of these characters than I did.
Well, damn, you're going to put me on the spot, because this is the character that I probably have the least connection to.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, like, so I'm really not going to speak highly of David. You probably are. To me, I mean, you know, poor kid, trying to make something for himself. Tragedy left and right, you know, got no luck on his side. But God, it is a sad story. Do I feel like he's main character material for me? I wouldn't say so. I feel like maybe they deserved a strong, I'm not, you know, he's cool what we got, but I mean, I would have preferred much like a stronger main character. I don't feel like he was the best main character in my opinion, bro. And I really doesn't have nothing positive to say, if I had one blemish to this anime, it would be David, because I didn't connect to this character. I really didn't like it. So not much positive that I can say about David. But how do you feel about David?
It's weird, because I almost feel the same exact way. If anything, I feel like in the first like three episodes, definitely, I mean, throughout the anime, you're gonna see that or feel that David is the main character, and I get that. But in my opinion, my humble opinion, I feel like Lucy is the main character. That's straight up. I feel like when you leave this anime, you're not really thinking about David. You're thinking about Lucy. And in all the publications and all the graphics, pictures, you know, box art, it's mainly Lucy out there cosplaying. It's mainly Lucy and whatnot. Nice. But, you know, as a character himself, I mean, you know, he's a pretentious little schmuck, you know, poor kid that, you know, trying to get into, you know, get up the ladder in Arasaka Academy, you know, has a troubled upbringing, you know, his mom's out there doing shady shit as well, too, but trying to survive as well. The guy does not have the best role models whatsoever. When you look at everything that he's doing, from his mother and how she reacts to him as well, too, to what he's doing with brain dancing as well, to XBDs, to looking at Maine as almost like a father figure as well, too, who's like the worst example, and who basically he transitions to toward the end of the anime as well. He really doesn't have the best examples.
He doesn't, but I mean, well, no, he doesn't, but I mean, Maine tried his best. Like, so I wouldn't really, but I mean, you're right, it's not the best guy to look up to.
Maine was in denial the whole time.
But I mean, you know, who did he have to look up to? Because everybody that was around him as a male figure was a shyster to him. The dude that was selling the BDs, the Ripper Doc, really didn't give a flying F about him, you know? So here comes this big male figure that had a connection to his mother. So of course he's going to look up to them. And inadvertently, not really. Maine took him under his wing and became kind of like his little step happy.
Yeah, but in that same aspect, he followed everything that Maine was doing to the point where every action, as you know, spoiler heavy in this one, we're going to talk about it. And when Maine dies as well, too, he picks up the mantle and essentially becomes Maine 2.0.
Well, yeah, because he looked up to Maine. And, mm-hmm. you know, in like episode 4 or 3, after Pilar died, he was offered Pilar's hands and he said, no, I got my eye on somebody else, else. And it was Maine's hand. So he already looked up to him and he wanted to be like him at that point. And that's why we got that transition. And, you know, but he was a bit more rebellious than Maine. Maine was a little bit more toned down. He was just like straight spearheaded, in my opinion.
Do you feel that David's character arc, how it goes from this, you know, rambunctious teenager to this very stoic, I don't care about anybody, but I finally have somebody that people that care about me, to this no-nonsense, soulless being toward the end, with a heart, but still very soulless. Do you feel like it was justified? I mean, you know, he has the death of basically everyone that he loves, but I feel like it's 0 to 100 very fast with this character.
Well, I mean, in 10 episodes, it has to be like 0 to 100.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the sweet spot that we see with a lot of these series, you know, like 10 episodes. But essentially, that's how the whole anime was. I think that was the tone for the anime. Maybe they were trying to set that tone, you know, for Cyberpunk, the anime, where it was like 0 to 100, because you get the first episode, you know, he gets his ass kicked. By the end of the first episode, he wants to chrome up with his sand devastating. And then after that, gets kicked out of Arasaka, meets Lucy. I'm an edge runner now, you know? So it's like really 0 to 100. Your question was if it was justified? Like, what was the question?
Yeah, pretty much if it was justified of that character change of just, you know, let's discard that question for a second. Do you feel like there was any kind of redemption for this character? Do you feel like someone, because Lucy tried her best, but you think something, somehow, some way, he could have been redeemed?
I will say his only redeeming factor was that everything he was doing was for another person. Everything he was doing was for Lucy, you know? So that is the redeeming factor for him, you know? Like, he just got very tunnel vision. Everything I do is for Lucy. When he did start becoming soulless, I would say, you know, that's by the time the cyber psychosis kicked in. So yeah. I won't say it's him personally, because even though he's still becoming a cyber psycho, his main thing is Lucy, because, you know, in the last episode when Smasher is smashing this dude, literally, you know, Lucy jumps on him and is able to stabilize him for a bit. And that's the only redeeming quality in my eyes, that he goes above and beyond for somebody that he loves.
With the stand devastating, do you feel like that was, how do you feel that was portrayed in the anime? Do you feel like it's portrayed 10 times better than the game, especially with a lot of these different things, when it comes to Mantis Blades, you see in this episode, the gorilla arms. Do you feel like it enhanced what you love about the game already, or do you feel like it's on another level?
If they're the Sand Devastating, I feel like the Sand Devastating is definitely probably on a different level in the anime. They souped it up a bit, which is cool though, because, you know, like, it's an anime, we can play more. And I do like the little sliding motion, you know, slide to the left, like when James Norris did it in the first episode. That was pretty freaking cool. Not saying that it's not cool in the game, because in the game, you know, how you can just click it, chuck grenades, bah, 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 and then everything just like picks back up and, you know, the mayhem happens. But definitely in the anime, it's pretty more rocking. The only one that I felt that the anime really did help was maybe the monowire. The monowire is a tad bit lackluster in the game. You know, it's just like whipping back and forth. Still pretty cool and still pretty strong. But the one that it redeemed for me in the anime, I don't know if you tried it and how you feel about it, but you can give me your opinions. It was the rocket launcher. It was the arm launcher, bro, because the arm launcher is so lackluster in the game.
Yeah,
with the chemical rounds. Yeah, even with, you feel like it does nothing. But then here comes Maine, and he just obliterates a tiger claw with the rocket launcher, bro. Like, how did you feel with those little, you know, augmentations? Because I know you went full chrome on your dude. Do you feel like it holds up in the game, or it holds up better than that?
And, you know, there's a lot that I think customization is really big with me with these games as well, too. You know, we play Fallout a lot. We play, you know, the Elder Scrolls games as well, too. I think the ability to see your finished product on your character means a lot to me. And yes, you can kind of do this in Cyberpunk in 2077, where you look in the mirror and you see yourself, where you press this, you know, select button, and you're seeing your character kind of. But there's a, I don't know, to me, like, let's say you're playing Fallout and you're making a character you want, and you get into that third person mode, and you're seeing all the glory that you made your character, whether it's putting some armor on or putting a cowboy hat on or being part of the Minutemen, you're essentially making the character you want to see. You don't really get that in the game. You kind of get it, but it doesn't feel as epic. And I think when you look at the anime, it makes you hunger for that type of gameplay. Like, I want that. I want to be able to look like Main, or at least feel like it. I want to be able to look like a Dario as well, too. Feel bigger than life. When you're putting on the gorilla arms, for example, you don't really feel big. Like, you see your hands a little larger, but you don't feel big. Every augment that you have in Cyberpunk, you still look like a regular person. Whereas you're looking at it in Edgerunners, you're seeing these people transform from man to machine. And mm-hmm. I think that embodies what the genre is in Cyberpunk as well, too, of augmenting your body as well. And it's hard because you want to go back to the game and do that, but you know you can't. So it kind of leaves you with a sour taste in your mouth. But me seeing this in the anime, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable to see every single person in this anime, how they looked. Hell, I'll be honest, Adam Smasher in the anime looks 10 times more devastating than he does in the game. Like, I am completely scared of him when he pops up in the anime. Maybe it's because of the game and I know what he does in the game, but he looks like a threat. He feels like a threat. Everything feels very threatening in this show.
Oh, 100%. Adam Smasher feels more menacing. Because he's portrayed as that Arasaka ultimate weapon, you know, like, there is no one above Smasher, like, that's it. And then, you know, having the thing that makes Smasher scary, and I think they did a great job accenting it in the anime over the game, was that this man probably has a 1% Ganic in him left, and he's still, you know, coherent.
Yep.
He's not cyber psycho. He's coherent. Of course, he has no soul, but there is still, you know, the Ganic Smasher in there. As opposed to, like, David, they had the Sand Devastain, and then, you know, a few... man, I really think David only had the Sand Devastain in the synth lung. That's it, bro. And then he got them Sokka arms, and this little kid went full cyber psycho, so I don't want to hear nothing. I'm telling you, I'm built different. I like to think I'm special.
Well, oh, even bro. Adam Smasher calls him out of shit. He's like, you got a lot of chrome for such a little guy.
Yeah, bro, like, come on. But they did make him very menacing. I did love that. Speaking about other characters, the most controversial character, I never really got your views on her. The most controversial character out of everybody was Rebecca. There was a lot of back and forth with Rebecca. You know, let's just throw the word Lolly out there. She looks like the smaller kid, teen child. But the people behind the project were like, the character stays. They tried hell and high water, tooth and nail, to get the character out, and it actually became one of the most popular characters of the anime. How'd you feel about Rebecca?
If Lucy is the spot on character to look in this anime, Rebecca is a hard number two. She could easily be a number one as well, too, because she is so beloved by the fans of the series. She was a happy accident as well, too. Like you said, she wasn't even supposed to be in this anime whatsoever. They were trying their best because they did not want to try to do the whole anime trope of sexualizing someone that looks that young. I think they did a fantastic job of making Rebecca feel like an adult. Like, yes, yes, she feels juvenile at certain points, but at her core, she is acting like an adult. So mm-hmm. I think that saves the character right there from some kind of waifu nonsense right on that end. But it won't stop the fans from making what they gotta make. Once, you know, it will happen. No.
It's been happening.
Yes.
Rebecca, unfortunately, Rebecca is the most sexualized character out of Endrunners, which is fucking crazy. Excuse my French, because you got Lucy, you got Kiwi. I mean, hell, you got Dorio. You got all these people, and she is the most sexualized character out of the series. But I do agree with you where she, for me, was like, oh, this is it. Like, when I seen her craziness in the trailer, you know me, I like a crazy chick, and I just like those type of characters like that don't give a F. So I immediately gravitated to her, and I'm like, bro, like you said, happy mistake, her quirkiness, her craziness, her wildness, but still be an adult in the core, you know, because essentially she's not really a lolly character.
No, she's trying to screw David half the time.
Which I started picking up on that as I started watching the anime again for the second time. The first time I was oblivious to it the first time. I was like, okay, you're crushing, you know, whatever. You're crushing like the Eternals, like this chick on whatever his name is. You're just crushing on him and you're the younger character or whatever, looking physically. But now I see it. When she rolls up with him the first time, gives him the drink, then when they sneak into the afterlife and everybody's drinking and she rolls up on him with the soda and starts leaning on him, I'm like, oh, okay, I see it. Yeah, you've been trying to blame this dude day one. Like,
smooching with everyone.
And it's just great because he don't give a rat's about her, bro. Like, he's just all over Lucy. But I think she's great, and I really like her voice acting. How do you think about the voice acting? Because, you know, she has that, yeah, that little up and down tone, and I think she was a great character to balance out the craziness that this anime was.
You know what? I think out of everyone that I try to get a connection with in this anime, I think she's the only one that I got the most out of when it comes to a connection. Because, really? she is someone that is chaos. She is tiny chaos, you know, basically a shotgun, which is so like awesome because she uses a shotgun in the show as well too. But she is basically a little shotgun, spitball full of energy, wisecracking, but has a lot of heart, you know, especially the parts where she's calming David down, especially when she's noticing him going through the cyberpsychosis. She is the voice of reason. You would think anyone else would be, but no, she's the voice of reason to calm him down, saying, listen, you're fucking up, but I still got your back. I think because of this character, you got the comedy aspect, but it wasn't pushed too hard. You got a possible love interest that you really probably weren't shipping, but you were cracking up because she was trying to score all the time. And then at the end of the day, you got this character that you had a connection with that died so suddenly that I think no death in this show left more of an impact besides her. I still hear people till today. I see people like, you go on TikTok, you go on Instagram, on Twitter, and they'll do like reactions to Rebecca's death, and people are literally crying because it just happened so abruptly. And you have this like, it's like killing off Naruto season one. It's like you felt it.
I think what made this death impactful was the fact that it just came out of nowhere. Like you said, it was abruptly. It was cold-blooded. It was no regrets, bro. It was cold-blooded. It was like, you're a bug. You know, it's a size discrepancy as well. Like, you look at Smasher just coming down, just obliterating this tiny character. It's like, wow.
You expect her to move or something.
Exactly. But her ass just kept shooting the shotgun thinking she's going to damage, and, you know... Because at that point, she done lost everything for David, you know?
Yeah.
So she was like, what do I have to live for? You know, because she was really crushing on David. So at that point, she really didn't have nothing to, you know, live for. To me, impactful. To me, the one that stands out to me is Maine. That's the real tragedy for me. That death, Maine, because you knew the route you were going down. You knew this was the only way out, you know? Like, but this is a character that it's sad. It F's with me. Like, I'm getting choked up because this is the character that I want so much more elaboration on, and I'm never going to get. But it's good though, you know, like interpretation. But super, this is like my favorite character of the whole anime. Like, sorry that I just, like, you know, going on a tangent right now.
No, go for it. You know,
he's cold-blooded, but he still has a heart. He takes David in, becomes sort of a stepfather figure to him. He wants David to get better in every aspect. We see the main from before, where he was this puny guy. What was wrong with him? What was his backstory? I want all that, that he needed to beef up to this point. I mean, obviously you saw how he looked like a twig, but what was it that was so bad that he needed to run away from and just beef up like this to become this beef of a man where he just knocks? He's not Max Tax, but this dude knocks a freaking cyber psycho's head off with one punch. Unrealistic. And for, you know, going down the path that you're going, knowing that this is the only way out, kind of like the State of Mafia is out of a box. And he just kept going. There was something eating at this freaking guy, bro, that he didn't give a F. And then still, for as big as you are, you're still a teddy bear because your woman washes you, bro. Dorio used to put the beats on him, which is great, you know? Like, so
I think that's your 1-2 punch right there, Dorio and Main.
Yeah, I think it is. For me, it's Dorio and Main, bro. I just love their relationship and everything. And then the scene was tragic, bro, because he sits here and says, yo, get out, kid. That's it for me. I've gone full cyber psycho. I've killed Dorio. I've killed my love. Leave, you know, that's it. Let Max Tag do what it gotta do. And tragic as hell, bro. Tragic as hell. But yeah, main for me has to be my favorite character of the anime. I don't know. How do you feel about it? Yeah,
I love Main. No. Main, you know, like I was saying before before the podcast, Main's my main dude, you know. That I always love the surrogate father character, someone that takes, you know, the parental character that takes someone under their wing. And yeah, I definitely agree that I wish we got a little bit more of the backstory. Like, it was so ambiguous. But I think it works that way. I think less is more sometimes, especially with only 10 episodes. You let, you know, the mind wander. You let, you know, the imagination kind of take its toll, because you want to know what his backstory is. You want to know what everyone's backstory is, pretty much, in this anime, in this show. And you could only speculate, but I think that's half the fun of just speculating.
It is. That's why I was like, it's fun, but it's like, I'm more over this character.
You want something concrete.
I want, what are you running away from, bro? Because you saw this, you saw this man run basically to the edge of the end of the road in the nomad territory. Like, what are you running away from? What is it? You know, I don't want to hear, he's training to get his body up, but at that point, you're running away from something, bro. And I wanted more. But essentially, like you said, sometimes this is good. And, you know, like, hell, ain't no topic main for me. But,
I guess the best analogy I could give for that character is maybe, and this is why he takes David under his wing, is that maybe the backstory that we see from David hits Main to his core. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is why he takes him, because he sees literally so much, if not everything, in David, basically himself. Like, maybe he did the same background, same upbringing, the same expectations. Hell, they were both scrawny kids starting on this show as well, too. So maybe, you know, we don't have to leave it up to interpretation. Maybe that is exactly what happened. He's running away from that lifestyle the same way David's running away.
Could be. It could be. Looking at it that way now, that's why I love doing these podcasts, because you're absolutely correct. Now I'm, like, linking pieces together. And he was, like, at all cost, you know, Main was pushing Chrome on David. You know, he was like, David was like, no, I'll save myself with the Sandy. And he was like, you can only do so much till you're fully chromed out, bro. And he just kept pushing that chrome on him. And hell, like you said, maybe he saw himself in David. He willingly said, all right, I flatline, you have the gloves, you know, you have the fists. So yeah, you're correct. It could be that.
A character that doesn't get a lot of love, and rightfully so, but I feel
oh,
like,
I know who you're going.
Yeah. But I also feel this and yeah, but like she's so central to the plot of this show. And I think we all would feel a different way had it not gone that way about this character, but I think Kiwi is a very interesting character. I think I don't know, man. Like, what are your thoughts on Kiwi? Because
you want my real thoughts on Kiwi?
I know.
If you know me, you know where I'm going.
Yes.
For. The only interesting thing about Kiwi are her blue nipples. No.
But you know what? I thought I had a feeling maybe you would just like her a little bit more for her nut running skills and what she brought to the table as well too.
Yeah, I mean I like Kiwi, but she's like she's at the not I want to say at the bottom, but I do love because the net running skills. I do like Kiwi. She's very mysterious. She really did live by that code. Don't trust nobody. You're in balls deep with this crew, and you betray them. They're like your family. Maiden said he was running with Lucy for like a few years now, so that means you were running with Kiwi way before, you know, and she brought Lucy into the crew. So essentially that's sort of like family. Very mysterious, the very, you know, obviously the best, for me, she's like the best out of the crew and net running and all those things. But I love her for the fact that this is a homage to the character that we saw in the trailer when Cyberpunk first got announced. Remember that shorty that was putting on the makeup with no mouth? Mm-hmm. Essentially, this is what Kiwi is, a homage to that. And when she took off that mouthpiece and you saw just straight chrome mouth open, no jaw, no nothing, I was like, okay, I know what we're doing here. And this is freaking epic. And this is what Cyberpunk is. So very mysterious though, very mysterious. And she got what she deserved. I'm sorry. Like, she did.
Yes, yes. Like, yeah. If there's one despicable character, more despicable than M. Smasher, it probably Kiwi does take the cake because the betrayal, the taste of betrayal is so bitter. It's so bitter.
It is, bro.
And
did I? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go for it.
No, good.
Nah, because I was just saying, like, I was going to say that I think because we established such a tight knit group within, you know, David's Edge Runner group, means that David's going to go hand in hand. You do feel like someone is going to go ahead and betray someone, and I honestly felt like it was going to be Lucy at one point. I was like, you know, you're too good at this point. Like, you're too good. You're too, like, you love David, but I feel like there's something there that's going to cost people their lives. And out of nowhere, it's over here Kiwi being the little bitch that she is. And of course, for the almighty dollar, the almighty Eddie. And it's crazy that it's just a bunch of Eddies that makes her demolish her family the way she does.
Mm-hmm. So the Eds, bro. Like, the root of all evil, you know, women and Eds, bro. Women and Eds, like, yo, I'm telling you, bro. Like, and she, prime example, bro. Look, a woman and Eds, you see, like, bro. I mean, yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what, besides, you know, like you said, knowing that somebody was going to betray somebody, I'll tell you who I think it was, who I thought it would have been for me. And I didn't think it was going to be Kiwi, man. I thought it would have been Pilar. Pilar just has Shiesta, a turncoat, crab.
I didn't see that, though. I saw, like, he was such a scummy dude, but, like, he was their scummy dude.
Yeah. He was scummy.
He was there, Steve Buscemi.
I'm done.
It's like, you're weird as fuck, but we love you, bro.
Oh, God, bro. Now I can't. I'm done. Now I'm looking at him like Steve Buscemi, bro. Oh, man. But, I mean, he did have that scummy pure aspect to them, like that, like, yo, I love my crew, but he had something that I was like, nah, bro, you probably gonna be the one. You're gonna betray people, but he was the first one to bite the dust, man. Like,
yeah, that one hurt too. Like, I didn't, we didn't know jack shit that much about him other than, you know, being related to Rebecca, but like,
yeah,
goddamn. Yeah.
Obviously, it wasn't a healthy relationship because,
yeah,
when Pilar got off, Rebecca went, I mean, of course, she lost it because that's her brother, but she went off on a hinge saying, anybody who's gonna body him is gonna be me.
Like, yeah. So, that's like, every brother and sister, or yeah, brother. Yeah. That's every sibling.
Yeah. Like, but so okay, from the Pilar, which I think it was a great opening. How they had that, because remember when that episode opened up, it was just David, his ears was ringing and everything, and then like sort of specs. We didn't know what it was, so I think that was a great, you know, opening. Did his death catch you by surprise? And did you feel like after that death, everything just fucking went down the hill, like everybody started dying?
So that's the beauty of this anime, because from the beginning of the intro of this anime, we already are told the story, what's going to happen. Mm. The beginning specifically lays out how David's going to die. But...
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that, yeah, exactly. So knowing that, I already feel like we're gonna have deaths, and even playing the game, Night City is a cruel place, and it holds no favors to anyone. So already off the rip, I was feeling like we're gonna have people die, and that's how it is. But still, with knowing this information, yeah, it still shocked me. It set a tone, it set a precedent that anyone can die. Just the amount of deaths was crazy for me, but it wasn't shocking to the point where like, ah, they killed everyone, well, mostly everyone. It was the manner of how they died. Like, we all know people are gonna die in Night City, but the manner people died was crazy. The matter how Main got off, how Dario got off, how Pilar got off, how Rebecca was off, like how David was off. Like, it brutal, fast, shocking. It doesn't give you time to react. That's what it is. It's these deaths are so fast that you feel like how the characters are feeling in that moment of shock and awe. And I think that's the success of the anime right there. Like, you feel exactly every little emotion they're feeling.
Yeah, I would have to say that's one of the best things in the anime, that it gave us this great cast of characters that within 10 episodes you gravitated to somebody. And they just ripped them all away from you. Give me that back. You know, like, we're just taking this away from you. We're showing you, like you said, and I remember that from day one, that when we were watching this, you said that you were like, wow, Night City is like a monster itself. You know, it's a cruel place. There is no beating Night City. Like, it's just a cruel place. And we saw that. We see that in the game, and we see that in the anime. And it was a little bit shocking for me. I was like, a little bit jarring that everybody just but two people survived. I'm like, well, damn, that happened. It left me, I don't want to say sad, but you know, cold. Yeah, like, it left you cold. It left you like, wow, like,
I mean,
used and abused.
a good comparison, but it's not either. But the best comparison I could kind of go with this is Rogue One, because you already know that the band of misfits are gonna die. Like, they'll do their best, but at the end of the day, they're all dead. Like, this is before New Hope and shit goes down. So, you know, fighting chance, but y'all gonna die. And yeah, it is a sad ending, and you know, you get to see Generoso like look at the sunset one more time before everything like goes to hell. But and as sad as that is, it's not as devastating as we get in Cyberpunk, because it's the shock and awe that hurts us. We know that they're going to die, but the way that they're killed or the emotions that we gravitate to these characters mean a little bit more in such a short time, too.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good thing right there. Short time. Excuse me.
I wanted to talk about that. There's other characters, but I'll kind of wrap it up on that end. But like, after this character, I want to touch base on Lucy, because we've been kind of teeter-tottering around her. You know, I say that she is the main character toward the end, because her arc does grow toward the later episodes. What she's able to do, her past, how she is a specialized netrunner as well too, along with, you know, a bunch of other orphans. I hate all the orphans.
Arasaka does hate all the orphans, bro.
Straight up. You know, I think that her, as her character grew, we saw David a little sidelined, and we could talk about cyberpsychosis and all that, but I felt like the emotional aspect of David kind of took a hit as we saw more of Lucy's backstory grow and grow and grow. And when I say that Lucy is the main character of the story, I mean, she gets what she gets at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, she sacrificed as well too. She went through all these emotions. She has a loss as well too. She was committed to this cat as well too. She was committed to the gang, to the cat, to Night City in general, to the cause. And at the end of the day, she came out unscathed. Maybe not emotionally, but she got what she got. She got to see the moon. She got to go on the moon. She got to live her dream. And I think that's the rarity that happens in Night City, is that you lose so much to get what you want. Are you truly happy in the end? I think she is the 1% that is actually happy in the end.
You think so?
I think that scene we get, the ending when she she finally lets go of David. Mm-hmm. I think that scene on the moon of
she let go of that dude fast, bro. That goes with what that, bro. That, see, you just confirmed. You just confirmed what I feel, bro. You just confirmed it. Yeah, bro.
She just David used was him, a meal ticket. Yeah,
David was a meal ticket, bro.
But she loved the dude, bro. Though. Like, but she did. She loved the dude.
Bro. Okay. Maybe she did love him. But for me, I'm just so like, bro. This was your meal ticket to get to the moon. The only reason why you had sexual intercourse with this dude is because he saved you from a cyber psycho. Like, I mean, maybe there was something there, but all of a sudden, oh, he saved me? Panties dropping, bro. Like,
I think there's more to it. You know what it is? It's okay. It's the...
And she's selfish.
It is. She is selfish. I won't deny that. She's a very selfish character. But I think it's the loyalty that David gave her is why she fell in love with him. And is that the right or wrong reason? We could debate that. But at the end of the day, this is Night City. The filthier you are, the higher you get up. So I get it. But it's the undying loyalty. Because as soon as you got no mom, you got really nothing in your life, you got this one girl, and you're like, I'm going to devote my entire being to making her happy. How toxic that is? Yes, it is. It is 100% the most toxic thing anyone could do. And to accept that toxicity is toxic in her own right as well. But like I said, this is Night City. The more toxic, the better. I think she did love the fact that this guy would die for me on a dime. So I'm going to stay by his side.
Meal ticket. Bro, that's I can see all that, but I'm just stuck on the fact where I felt like selfish character, selfish. Like, you had, you know, you didn't, I mean, of course that's how it's supposed to go. I mean, I get it, everybody. But you not at one moment said anything that you were doing because you did not want these people to find about your skeletons in your closet. You know, so you're keeping all that shit in the wrap, knowing that your man's was being targeted to be used for that prototype, and you thought that you were so nice with the net running that you were gonna get to that, erase those files, erase everything. You were selfish.
But she tried, though. She tried.
And whatever, but you know, I think she was trying
to save her own ass.
To save, exactly. She was looking for some sort of redemption from where she came from. She was like, if I can, you know, okay, maybe I love him, supposedly, I'm gonna throw that in air quotes, you know, and he's trying to get me to the moon, I'm gonna redeem myself to not feel like a, you know, I won't say a complete, you know, because she was an orphan, but it was more she wanted to expunge her past than Save David, in my opinion, bro. Because once she let that kid go on the moon, that was hella fast, bro. That's like not even 48 hours, homie. Like, you already done forgot about him. Like,
okay, so to all the fans out here that are actually listening to this, and if you are listening to this, I'm guessing y'all are shippers of David and Lucy forever, hearts forever, I really want to stay at your house forever, you know, memes and wallpapers forever. Do you think that those fans that ship these two together, like, that's love, love? Are they the same kind of fans that probably ship Joker and Harley all the time? Like, oh, you're my Mr. J and I'm your Puddin'. Is it like that type of toxicity?
Yeah, it's that type of toxicity. I think they're the same people that ship them, bro. Yeah. Any toxic relationship you can think of in an anime or in a movie or in a show, they're the same people, bro. Yeah. Because like, that relationship. The purest. You want a pure relationship, bro? Dorio and Maine. Yeah. That's a pure relationship, bro. That's love right there, bro. Nah. She over here snuffing her man into the back seat so he could go to a Ripper because he didn't want to go to the Ripper. And Lucy over here, knowing your man's being targeted, you gonna selfishly keep that to yourself. You see your man over here on the verge of cyberpsychosis while he watching novelas and his hand trembling, and you over here keeping that selfishly. Get out of here, bro. No.
She did That's check out him watching novelas butt naked.
Yeah, bro. And then what she did? Cold-blooded. She ain't even touch him or nothing, bro. Knowing that he's shaking, even trying to hold him. Oh, when he's already missing half of his lower body, you want to hold him. Missing an arm, missing a face. You want to say, David, it's me. Not when he was in the house shaking, right? Get out of here.
The tears right now.
Stay up in the moon, never come back down, bro. You toxic.
That's where Lucy's at right now. She's stood on the moon.
Yeah, she an alien, bro. Stay up there, bro. And legit, that's cyberpunk terminology for people that are in outer space, bro. Let her be her alien ass over there, bro. Like,
my heart.
I don't like Lucy. Yeah. No, I'm done, bro.
Just to end it that way, I don't like Lucy.
Not intrigued by that character whatsoever as well, bro.
My man with all Forrest Gump, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Oh, man, but with all that aside, we know this is a one and done anime. We know this is a one and done anime. There has been, like, you know, after the anime was done, everybody took to the Twitter, oh, we want a season two. I say no. I say one and done is fine. Do you think a season two would be good? Would hold up? Sometimes a sequel is not needed.
Yes and no. Would I prefer a movie? Maybe.
That's interesting.
I would maybe, like, one-shot movies. I think I could deal with that, with characters maybe from the past, or maybe just jumping a little bit forward, maybe after, was it Phantom Liberty? Maybe after that comes out, we could just play around with some lore after that. I wouldn't be open to another, I would be open to another series if it was nothing to do with Edge Runners. Okay. We close the chapter with Lucy, we could have little tidbits of what happened. But we close that chapter and we just explore different things. I would love to get into Nomadlands and explore that area as well, too. That would be fun. Maybe the life as a corporal as well, too. I think that would be fun as well, too. I think there's room to grow in this and tell different stories that are happening either before the events of 2077 or after. And still be consistent with what's happening in the world, so I would be receptive to that. But if we got a straight up sequel and it's like Lucy's Adventures again, I would be highly disappointed. I would be really pissed off.
If it's something that's in the universe of that and not anything, you know, not even a little recap or not even tidbits, just leave that there, leave that story, you know, let's just do this. It doesn't even have to be chronological, in my opinion. It has to have some, you know, canon to it, but not chronological. I don't care. I would like to see some different stuff explored, bro. Because like you said, there's a lot of cultures in this city. Essentially, it's a melting pot. There's a lot of groups. There's a lot of places. You know, Pacifica, Watson, Kabuki, all that stuff, bro. Scavs. Hell, I would even like a Scavs, you know, for a Tiger Claw. Voodoo Boy.
Rise of the Voodoo Boys. Or maybe just even an origin story on Adam Smasher. The Rise of Smasher. You know, something like that.
I would love to visit all that corporate war and shit, like the fourth corporate war, because I love reading those hollow charts and stuff, and it seems all super interesting, you know? Like, even, you know, like I was telling you the other day, this is also outside of California, you know? You have European aspects to this. Like, even when you start the corpo path, you got, you know, cyberpunk lore in Germany, you got in Brazil, you know, where they're doing the soy farms for the food, and it's something that I would definitely love to explore.
You know how they have young Sheldon?
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was my super religious mom. I'm sorry.
Sheldy.
Sheldy.
Yeah. I want young Yorinobu.
I'm done.
Yes. Give me baby Yorinobu all day. Give me like young adult Yorinobu.
My man said he wanted Chibi Yorinobu, bro. Like,
give me bro. That.
So that would be cool, though. That would be cool, you know, because he also, you know, he's a prick, but he has a lot of lore to him.
Yep.
All the rebellious side, all the pressure that comes with being, you know, the son of the emperor. I would like to see his adventures running as a nomad and stuff like that. I think that would be cool, bro. I know which one you want. You want Alan Parker.
No. Oh, she look ugly. What did I say? She looked ugly dead.
Bro, yeah. Yo, I lost it. And then when I rescued mission, that's all I thought about. He was like, you don't even look pretty when you're dead, bro. You look ugly. And I'm like, man. So that's cold-blooded, bro.
Oh, if there were characters or a character that you felt did not get enough love or attention, maybe backstory or screen time, was there anybody specific that you would have loved to explore a little bit more besides the people we talked about?
I think the obvious ones for me would be Gloria, David's mother. I think her story, you know, situation that they got to, I would like to be exploring that. And she seemed like a very wholesome mother character, that she would do anything for her son, and she did, essentially. And yeah, straight up, I'm confusing the characters right now. What's this dude's son's name? Tanaka's son, the one that gave David a whooping in the beginning?
Oh, yeah. We need that resolved, and that never got resolved.
That I wanted that rubber match, bro. Like, bro, I needed that rubber match. We got robbed of that rubber match.
Let's just assume in our headcanon that David went back to Arasaka Academy with the big ass arms and just snuffed this dude in class one time.
Do you know what? Yeah. Like, I mean, I think the other dude would have got chromed up too, because remember his little pappy had the needles in the hands, bro. Don't sleep on him. But them two, and for some reason, they make him like a big bad. And this is just me because I wanted to see him, and he looks freaking cool. Bro, James Norris, the cyber psycho from the beginning.
Yeah.
I would like to get some more backstory on him, because we know he was a soldier and he has all that Militech cyber augmentation. So, characters that stick out. What about you? What character would you have liked to get some more light on?
You make great points with, you know, David's mom, a couple of the cats as well too. I kind of do want Falco and Faraday. I definitely want a more backstory on Falco. He's just such an audible character. Just came out of nowhere. Like, you don't belong in this universe, but I accept it.
Maybe low key that's your nomad character there, bro. Like,
straight up.
But I do love, sorry for cutting you off, I do love the Faraday character. Because Faraday, for the bit that he was on screen, very menacing. And I think that would have shined a light on what fixers do.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would have been great. But sorry for interrupting.
No, you just opened something that I never thought I wanted. The life and day of a fixer. Like, give me that anime. Give me the reverse. Give me the most scummiest people out there doing how they do, fucking drinking martinis and sending hits. That's all I care about right now.
Bro, facts. That's what I'm saying. Like, you just, when you said Faraday, I'm like, yo, right, bro? Like, the life of a fixer, just sitting there all scummy. Okay, ordering hits and just chilling, sitting on a fat stack of Eddies, bro. I want to see that life. I want to see that life, bro.
Maybe we get a little backstory on Dexter Deshaun.
Screw that, too. Oh my god. Dexter Deshaun. Ample indeed. Screw that guy, bro. With your little implant look like about to fall off. Rotary cuff, bro. Like,
your hairline not even stretching to the back of your head. You can chrome everything up, everything else up besides your hairline.
Yeah, you can't chrome up that hairline, bro. Come on, dogs. I told you everything I know. Man, she's heavy. Get out of here, bro. That's one death that I got robbed of, bro. If I can go back to the landfill and find that dude's body, bro, I would just go rock it with massive blows with my gorilla arms, bro.
couple last tidbits we can talk about here. Were you happy with the established characters from the lore that made their appearances in the anime?
I did like seeing Rogue.
Mm-hmm, me too.
That was cool. I did like seeing Claire at the bar. You know, that was cool. The one that really stood out to me, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. Even though, you know, he was a little bit of a scumbag. How he acts, I mean, of course, he's a bouncer. It was the animal bouncer at the afterlife. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So I found that cool. Who else was there? Was there somebody else that I picked up on?
No, if there was, you guys could let us know as well too. If y'all saw somebody that we didn't.
Yeah, but I think for me the bouncer was like pretty freaking awesome. I'm like, oh, y'all kept it real, bro. Like, that's cool. But yeah.
I think Rogue was mine. I will say this. I know I'm not alone in this, and I probably know you're gonna disagree with it. And that's okay, because for what it's worth, it's perfect the way it is. But this is the only but, and I don't like to think this way, but this was my initial gripe with the game in the first place. Would I have busted a load right there if I would have got 5 seconds of Jackie Wells?
Oh, you would have.
Yeah.
You would have, bro, because that's your dude right there. You love Jackie above all.
I was one of the main reasons why I didn't want to play the game. I was like, you off Jackie. And I was like, what else do I have now? I have this fucking sad sack of shit V over here. Oh, man. Jackie. Fuck you, V. I don't know. Maybe just... I know I'm not the only one when it comes to the fan base that would have just maybe had one little thing like Ole Holmes just there on his motorcycle, just rolling, just a scene, just like, hey, nice arms, just rolls out.
Yeah. Let me see something. I'm thinking now. I'm trying to think about the dude that was sitting at the bar by Rogue, like, to see his body. No, that was Falco, right?
Yeah, that was Falco, because Jackie, they never been to the afterlife since the events of 2077.
Since the event, yeah. Okay, so yeah, because this is a year before 2077. Mm-hmm. That's why I had sent you that picture. I think, you know, a lot of people feel like you, because they had made a picture that was kind of cool. Where it was like two legends at the afterlife, and one is David and one is Jackie, like having a drink. And I'm like, well, that's cool, you know? But I mean, I don't disagree with you because, you know, you love Jackie. He's one of your favorite characters overall in the game and stuff. So, but you know how I feel why that had to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a driving force in the game. I mean,
it's a driving force in the game. And you know, I just look at it this way. Driving Force, no, you're entitled to feel how you feel, but me just as the driving force, it's too many characters would have been saturated, you know, like, because imagine these interactions with you, Jackie, and what's this dude's name? Takamura?
Yeah.
Imagine those interactions. And, you know, so it would just have been a little saturated. Mm. But I did start warming up a little bit to Jackie. He does have some nice and funny moments. So, but you're entitled to feel like that, bro. I think it would have been cool. It would have did fan service, honestly.
Yeah, just something stupid like, oh, you're looking big there. Martinez, huh? You think I can take you? Like some bullshit like that.
Martinez, you're glorious, kid, right? Your mama.
Yes.
Your mama goes to El Coyote.
Yes, right there. Just all of that. All of that right there.
That would have been cool, though. That would have been cool.
And it's hard to picture, like, where this is in a timeline with 2077 because are these antics that V and Jackie are going through, that little montage, is that a year in the life of these two, or is that a couple of days? Is that a couple? I would look at it as a couple of, like, months to a year. Do we ever get, like, a real timeline with that?
The little opening
montage
sequences?
Yeah, with them two.
Yeah, it's about, like, a year and a half.
So,
because when that happens, excuse me, you jump into the first mission in Japantown when you're saving Sandra Dorset, and it saves Japantown a year and a half later.
Okay.
So that would, if my math is correct, that's like what, like 2 years and a half, maybe.
So maybe that would have been hard then, because he's already rolling with V at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't want to sacrifice that, putting like the V that you're like, people would get pissed off, bitching and moan like, that's not the V I created. That's not my V.
But bro, you could have easily played it off by having Jackie with some random default person with a BD headset on and just chilling and not even show his face, you know?
Yeah. Or like, the gang. What's the gang he was in again? The
Valentinos.
Valentinos. He could have been rolling with them.
Yeah, you could have did that, or, you know, it could have been done. It could have been done for fan service, but I think, like, it would have just opened up a lot of wounds for people.
Yeah, would have. Like, he bumps into it on a date with him and Misty at the movies or something like that. Like, hey, Holmes, you bumped into me. Like, it's something like that.
For her. Do you imagine
that? But you're right. You're right. I think it would have broke a lot of people, mine included. I would have been heartbroken if I would have saw that.
Yeah. You think you can take me? Like, yo, imagine him in Maine, bro. I got 10 out of 10 times.
Oh, my fucking God. I got Jackie 10 out of 10 times. They don't even fight. They just drink.
They just drink word. Like, they look like they would be best friends, though, bro. No lie. Like, they look, because low-key, you know, Maine, like I said, he's a big softy. Jackie's a big softy. So I think they would have been best friends, yeah. You know, they would have got scooted to the side.
All right. Final thoughts on the anime. Was there something that you wanted more? Was there something that possibly you wanted them to elaborate on just on a little bit more that would have made your experience better, or do you feel it's perfect the way it is?
But I already gave my piece about the main.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of, you know, swindled me a bit, but I still would have preferred to see something about Maine, even though, like I said, 10 episodes, we're not going to get backstories. We just got backstories on the very important characters, Lucy David. It's perfect, but I would have preferred to see a little bit more of Maine or something, or, you know, but that's just what I got. I think the anime is perfect. It gives me everything that I want. It gave me the feels, the high, the rush, helplessness. It made me cry. Yes, I admit it. I cried. I'm not afraid to admit it. So it's perfect. If you could give me all the feels that you gave me, I have no problems with it.
Yeah, I agree with
you. How do you feel?
The same way. I think even if I wanted my Jackie part, I think that I could set that aside, just like you said, and look at it for what it is. And for what it is, the story they told, with the amount of time that they told to first if you're a new person watching this, it puts you in the world right away and what to expect. It gave you what Night City is. It gave you what kind of vibe it is. It gave you the feeling of a cyberpunk world, you know, a little bit of flying cars here and there, dystopian future, cyberware, things are going crazy. It gave you endearing characters. It gave you relatable characters. It gave you awesome music, which we didn't really touch that much on, but the music is just fantastic from the opening sequence to the ending sequence to, you know, the song that gets played everywhere when it comes to this freaking anime. I think the music has a variety. It has so much variety, from funk to jazz to, you know, a dubstep in a way, to even like tech noir. There's so many different things in this anime that it offers you.
Did we get anything from like the industrial metal?
I feel like there is one scene. It's semi-industrial. It could, you know, you could probably put that into tech noir as well too, because they could almost go hand in hand. But like a lot of times where we got David chromed out, almost getting into cyber psychosis, those times you got a little bit of that as well too. Especially toward the end, the fight sequences as well too, you got a little bit of that as well, which still fucking great. I think like I was saying, the fight sequences, the music that plays along with that, it's just, you're captivated. You don't want to leave the screen. This is not a show that's gonna make you look at your phone and say I'm bored, because you need to pay attention to every little thing, because if you miss it, somebody's dead.
No, for real, bro, you miss a very important piece if you look away. And that's why this show is so great, because it grabs you and you can binge it. I rarely binge anything, and yesterday, like, I sat down and I started watching from episode 2, because I had watched one. I started watching episode 2 and almost finished it, bro, in one sit down. Like, when you had texted me, I was like, yo, my fault, I got caught up in Cyberpunk. I mean, Cyberpunk, like, Edgerunners. I was like, it's that good, bro. Like, that it just keeps you hooked.
Well, guys, this concludes the Cyberpunk Edgerunners anime. If you want to give it a rating out of 1 out of 10, what would you give it?
Oh, one out of ten.
Yeah, you could put your points in there too. You can put your points, point fives and stuff.
Point fives, you can live halves. You know what? I'm gonna give it I would sound biased saying the ten, right?
No, wouldn't.
I'm gonna give it, gosh darn it, it's good. I'm gonna give it a 10, bro, because I love it. I love it. I really do, bro. And this is what I wanted when this project was announced. Like I told you from day one, I was like, bro, I'm ready to jump into this universe. Like, you're giving me a cyberpunk universe, books, comics, animes, games, and I finally got that with Edgerunner. So I'm gonna give it a 10. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 10, bro.
I love it. I think I'm going to give it a 10 as well too. Like you said, I can't even compare that right there, because the feelings and emotions that this gives you is uncomparable. And I think it not only revitalized the game as well, it brought people back to the game, and it brought the game to a level where they knew they needed to do right by it, do right by the fans. They did. And to the point where now it's like one of the most successful games that, you know, CD Projekt Red has made, because of this anime, because of the lore, and because people went back and said, you know what, I'm gonna give it a fair shot.
And I think you're correct, bro. Like, this anime helped the game out a lot, and it helped out this project, this address in general, bro. And it's just gonna be epic. They're already working on part 2. Phantom Liberty DLC is coming out, so there's gonna be some nice time for Cyberpunk fans.
It's gonna be nice to see some anime titties.
Anime titties.
But bro, guys,
I want them BD shorties from the beginning, bro.
Anime BD today.
Anime BD. Give me some anime waifu BDs. Some anime waifu. I'm gonna just shut up. I'm done. Let's sign off. Yeah.
Pop Culture Fanatics on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok as well too. the podcast itself is everywhere in all podcast platforms, from Spotify to Apple Podcasts to all the way down to Amazon Music. So, guys, thank you so much for just enjoying the ride that is Edge Runners with us. For your boy Jay, myself, we're signing off. My dude, my Chumba, it's been real.
Chumba, this was Max Nova, Chum.
Later, brother.
Later, brother, man.
She pulls my trigger, got me up all right. It's a danger pretty here in our city. She pulls